B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network, and of course, all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101. My name is Chuck B, and I am joined, as always, by Al Beck and James.
As always.
Not 2 weeks ago.
Well, as always as possible.
Yes. There we go. Yeah, they say the as always with an asterisk.
As possible. Yeah, as always as possible. And this week, we are, of course, getting together to talk about all the goings-on last weekend at San Diego Comic-Con. The San Diego Comic-Con is spectacular, even if you don't go to it, because you spend the entire weekend, I don't know about you guys, but I spend the entire weekend just surfing Twitter, just seeing what's coming up, and going to my favorite news sites and being like, what did I miss? I'll go to sleep, and I'll wake up and be like, okay, what happened in San Diego that I didn't see?
Did I do any of that, Chuck?
Of course you didn't.
Exactly.
I mean, I saw some headlines, but I wasn't like frantically searching. You know, there's some stuff that caught my attention. But
yeah. And, you know, for me,
there was stuff that I'd already heard that came out of Comic-Con. I went, oh, cool. And I've already forgotten.
Okay. Yeah, I expected that you didn't do any of the research because you knew that I would. So you were going to come in with a fresh mindset and be like, oh, that's happening? Really?
Yeah. Oh, and don't make no mistake about it. I did zero research for the things that I'd forgotten. They were told to me.
Right.
Well, you did zero research because it would interfere with your afternoon nap.
Yeah.
And your elderly man bedtime.
Right.
You know, if you're up late doing research, you know,
fun of his middle of the afternoon nap and his old man bedtime. But we all work really bad shifts.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
we all have a really early bedtime.
Oh, trust me. I have my own afternoon nap as well.
Yeah. I get grumpy. I don't get an afternoon nap.
I want to take the opportunity to hit on the old madness of that.
Fair enough.
That's all.
It's the joke that keeps on giving, really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk
about...
It's
a good thing I don't know who you are.
Before I start... before I start running through the stuff that I've got
outside
listed.
Without my pants on. Continue.
Also, you've got your iPad there to take notes.
I do.
And one of the suggested phrases to type in is, ha, 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 ha.
It's true. And also you.
It's just the letter U.
It's my two options. No, the word you.
Those are the two things he types the most.
Yeah. I guess so.
You.
Saddest.
Anyone who's gotten a text message from Al can either confirm or deny that.
Yes. I don't talk to people.
It's true.
You had content or something.
At some point, content will happen.
I'm sorry. I just saw him like, what the hell does it say? Ha, 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 ha.
Why does it autocomplete with so many ha, ha, ha's?
The funny thing is, I feel like I got this is entrapment. The reason I have this up was last week. We got to the end,
failed.
And you were like, so you guys got any ideas for promo clips? And me and James both were like,
I didn't know that was my job.
We were supposed to be.
I was like, oh, yeah, there's some other responsibilities and tied into this whole thing.
Yeah. Because I remember there were definitely a couple of moments, but I didn't remember any of them were. So I've got this open. I don't know that I'll take notes.
All right,
but
that's fair. I'm interested. We'll check back with you as the show's ending to see what you ended up putting in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, note one. Note two. You.
Got any suggestions? Yeah, how about you? When did that take place? I don't remember that.
I don't remember that part.
I'm going to have to listen to the whole show and figure out what happened.
Who was the you?
We were. Anyway.
All right, so we started off Thursday with the announcement that the trailer for Jay and Silent Bob's reboot, which is coming out.
Mm.
Either you guys see or hear anything about this?
No,
I have not watched it yet. I'm probably going to go see the movie.
Yeah,
so
it's going to be pretty great. It looks like a lot of people that Kevin Smith has worked with over the last couple decades are all going to be showing up in this. You're going to see a lot of characters that you've seen as part of the Viewsk universe. Being in there, there's a moment with I believe it's Matt Damon in there, and he played Loki in the Dogma movie.
Yeah,
so people are like, oh, you bring him back, people from Dogma, how cool is that? But also a lot of people that he's worked with since he's made these particular movies are all gonna show up in this movie as well. And the basic plot of it seems like a direct sequel to Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yes,
Jay and Silent Bob are both old guys that are running a weed dispensary.
Well, good. They're making a living doing what they do best.
Out of where the clerks convenience store where the video store used to be.
Really?
When the movie
starts. Dispensaries in the same spot.
Yeah, where the video store used to be.
I wonder what New Jersey's laws are on medical marijuana, though.
I don't know.
That might be a little snag in the plan there, Kevin Smith. I'll tweet you about it.
That's funny, though.
But from the looks of the trailer, after that, they find out that they're rebooting the Jay and Silent Bob, the Crumpman and Blonick.
Blonick?
Blonick.
Bluntman.
The new superhero S.
Yeah, the Bluntman and Chronic movie that they made in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. They're going to do a reboot movie, and they're like, we got to put a stop to that. And they're off to the races after that. So it looks like it's pretty cool. They're also the girl who's playing Supergirl in the CW shows.
Yeah.
Is playing the rebooted version of Chronic.
Really?
In the movie that's supposed to be coming out within this
movie. Is it like rebooting it with the female?
Yeah.
Like they are doing a lot of the other things? Okay, that makes sense. I know he's got not a relationship, like sexual relationship, but I know he has a relationship with a lot of the WB cast
members
because he's directed some episodes.
Some of the episodes.
For the TV shows.
Yeah, he's kind of a fan of that stuff, so that's pretty cool. If you're a Kevin Smith fan, it looks just as fun as any of the other Kevin Smith movies that have come out.
Sure,
I'd like to see that.
Yeah. No, it looks like it's going
to
be good.
I'll even add that to my I'm not going to watch that trailer list. Because remember, the rule is if I know I'm going to see it, I don't watch the trailer.
Right.
So I'm glad that you hit some of the plot a little bit. I don't know. I wasn't super into Clerks 2. I didn't dislike it or anything, but I only watched it the one time. Like, it didn't do much.
I felt like the first time I watched it, it wasn't as cool, but I've caught it over the years again. It'll be on cable or something, or somebody Amy will be watching it and be like, oh, Clerks 2. I haven't seen this in a minute. And I feel like it's better the second or third time you see it.
Sure.
I enjoyed the movie. I just didn't like the Michael Jackson dance number, like the montage.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, okay.
I don't even remember that.
Put that in here.
I do remember We're Taking It Back, and I use that occasionally in day-to-day life.
Like the term that he was taking back, or just you're taking
back? No.
The term, quote, this is a big reveal, Al. I was like, damn, no wonder your neighbors don't socialize you.
Right.
You're yelling that at him.
Yeah, no.
It's cool, he's taking it back.
Yeah, exactly. No, I will say that I'm taking it back.
I got you. Thank you for the clarity.
Thank you.
Assuming the worst.
No, if you hadn't said that, who knows what a listener may have thought.
Right. I was like, holy Lord, Al. You know, there's a few people that listen to this podcast.
All four of them are pissed.
Yeah. We had no idea Al was that
My
kind
mother's
of person.
So disappointed in you, Al.
Mine doesn't even know how to download, so I'm good.
The other big trailer Thursday was Top Gun Maverick, which I'm sure Chuck the Freak is just over the moon about.
Yeah, him and Andy Green got a big old boner over that one.
You know what?
That one I saw because we watched it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I am of that generation and have never seen Top Gun.
Really? Never?
Nope.
I don't think I've actually seen it from beginning to end in its entirety either. I just don't care.
I remember playing the Nintendo game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was
that.
Impossible to land the plane.
You
shoot stuff down, but you can land the plane.
Really like Top Gun, not to the level of those other two guys.
Sure.
Like Chuck
and
Andy.
No, super fans.
Not by any means, but I like it. It's a good movie. I've seen it a bunch of times.
Right. We also found out, I don't know that this was part of Comic-Con, but they released the trailer for Cats on Thursday, and everybody was like, what the hell is this? I'm so surprised. I think I may have even said so over social media. I am completely surprised that the theater nerd is a big enough audience that they can continue to, make musicals at the movies and make enough money to continue to make musicals.
What was it, Chicago? What else have they done?
Moulin Rouge.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Moulin Rouge.
But even in the last couple of years, doing what was it, Into the Woods, I think was one of them a couple of years ago. And then last year, what's the historical political one?
Hamilton?
Hamilton, yeah.
Well, that's just a musical.
That hasn't been in the theater?
I don't think it's been a movie yet.
So you can tell I'm not a musical nerd.
That's okay. Well, I think it was in town recently or something. So.
Maybe,
or somewhere nearby. I'm not... It's funny. I'm not into musicals at all.
Yeah.
But I love my old, 1940s movies that always have musical numbers.
Yeah, it's Singing in the Rain.
Yeah. But, I don't know. It's something about, where they tell the story through the music.
Right.
For some reason, I don't connect with it, but I'm fine
with
the musical break.
The flicks that have, musical interludes or musical numbers in between dialogue.
Yeah, give me a Fred Astaire movie. He's going to do a little tap dance.
To me, I would consider that a musical. What would you say the sound of music is?
Oh, absolutely, a musical.
I've never actually seen The Sound of Music. So
oh, my
really
goodness.
Tell you.
Right.
That seems like it'd be right up your alley, The Sound of Music.
Well, most Disney movies have musical numbers in them. So
they
kind of count
as
musicals.
God. Oh, man.
I feel like
Lion King. No,
right.
Not a musical, but I can see why
it
should
be. But there is songs in it. Yeah. There's musical numbers.
I don't know. I think it's the difference is if it's actually used to tell the story or if it's just a, you know, kind of a part of the
right
entertainment. I don't know. Does that make any even sense?
Mm-hmm. I think okay. so.
Absolutely. Hakuna Matata is not really telling the story. It's just, you know.
It's just a song in the middle of it.
It's a warthog and a gopher and a lion. He's singing songs about being friends and doing stupid stuff in the jungle. So
he's a merkhead.
Whatever he is. I don't know. That's an African gopher, right?
Yeah.
Meerkat to you. You find it out here in the Detroit area, and it's just a groundhog.
Right.
Tearing up your lawn.
Let's see. Friday, we found out that neither one of you guys watched Veronica Mars when it was on before.
No.
That was supposed to be coming out on Hulu in a couple of weeks. They just decided to put it out. They were going to have a panel at Comic-Con anyways. They're like, you know what? It's out today. Go ahead and see it.
Were you a fan of Veronica Mars?
I was, actually.
Okay, well, I won't make a joke. I can say, well, good news for those who care.
So, me. Yes. We also found out The Boys comes out this Friday, already getting a second season.
Really?
Already, yeah.
And this is a show that's going to be on streaming?
Yep,
it's on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. This is a show based off of the comic that
yes, you I Let You Volume 1, okay. Yeah.
Is that the one where the guy gets beaten to death with a petrified horse wiener?
No, that's Crossed.
Okay. That's Crossed, yeah.
I've got two of them. I just haven't figured out which is which yet.
Yes.
Yeah, Anne
good
was,
old Horse Rock.
Anne was asking me about that earlier today, and I was telling her, what if the Justice League were a bunch of jerks? That's all you got to know
that's
about The Boys.
Putting it very mildly, too.
Very mildly.
The basic premise of The Boys is... It's kind of built around absolute power corrupts absolutely. Like, if there really was a Superman, he probably is not going to be a really good guy because mm-hmm. he's got these infinite powers. And, yeah, he might go fight evil a little bit here, but he's going to, you know, be a womanizer and probably, and really take advantage of people. And the boys kind of take, like, a super serum, sort of like a Nick Fury thing, or
right.
at least in the comic version of Nick Fury. And they basically, it's like a group of, four people that go around and basically beat the crap out of these terrible superheroes.
Yeah. When you cross a moral line, then the boys come and pay you a visit.
Yeah.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah. So.
If you're a super person, if you're just a regular person, they got plenty of people
to
do that.
And it is violent and
yeah, well,
super inappropriate.
I was reading a review last week, obviously before the show starts off, and the guy who is the Flash analog in the comics... is in the middle of fighting somebody and runs through the girlfriend of the main character. And that's how he becomes one of the boys. Like,
yeah.
he comes running. They're doing one of those things where they're holding hands and they're
yep.
spinning around. And all of a sudden, he's just holding her arms.
Yeah.
So, okay. So he literally runs. Okay.
Just runs yeah. right through this
that's
woman.
That's Wee Huey. That happens to him, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And
the main character.
That apparently is the first scene of the show.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah. There's they go after, and they're like, I don't know how they're going to handle it in the show, probably very similarly, but in the comics, that writer is not a fan of superhero comics. This is his superhero comic, and he said, I'll never do it again, but it's like, it's sort of an anti-superhero story.
Right.
So he's got versions of recognizable characters, like Batman is the Tech Knight.
Yeah.
But they had the one, the G-Men were supposed to be the X-Men, and it's just this group of, like, teenage kids, and there's like this scene where they've got like a whole orgy going, like they've got all these women in there, and there's a super orgy, and they go and basically slaughter the X-Men when they're in the middle of banging.
Oh,
I was like, this is the boys.
The boys caught you with your pants down.
Yeah.
And that's a fun TV show. We're looking forward to watching.
So excited for The Boys. Prime Video.
Yeah.
I mean, orgies. Got my attention to that right there.
Right.
I'll tell you about
superhuman orgies. Yeah, sign me up for that porn. I watch that.
Yeah, the Tech Knight has a very special obsession that I'll tell you off air.
Yeah. Okay. On the other end, something that is significantly less rated R, Steven Universe from Cartoon Network.
The cartoon show, right?
Yeah, is getting a movie on Cartoon Network September 2nd, and they showed the trailer for that.
Is it going to be animated or is it going to be live action?
Animated.
Okay.
Totally
not
animated.
Going down the path of Dora.
That one definitely treads the line of musical because there's always musical numbers during Steven Universe.
But for some reason, I enjoy Steven Universe.
I love Steven Universe. Yeah. I think it's very wholesome. It's
him
very
and
neat.
The bubblegum game or whatever that...
Gumball?
Gumball World.
Gumball is
or
great.
Like
yeah,
that.
The world of Gumball is fantastic.
They meld all those different ways of doing animation.
Yeah, I love how with Al's like, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I know, sorry.
I love how the world of Gumball is animated. It's very simplistically animated, but it's animated over the top of actual pictures of real world. Like, you know, the front of the house is actually a picture they took of the front of an actual house.
Yeah.
But then there's things they'll have like hand puppets that will pop in.
Right.
Or
the
stop
CGI.
Animation, CGI.
There's a CGI T-Rex.
Yeah.
It's just a character in the show.
Yeah. Just a really fun
show just to watch because of the different types of animation that they bring into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But sorry, back to the...
No, I was just, I'm psyched. I love Steven Universe, so it's going to be cool to see a Steven Universe movie. I think it would be cooler to see it on the TV than have to go to the theater for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know with Cartoon Network, or it wasn't Cartoon Network, it was Hasbro. They did some My Little Pony movies that were at the movies, and at the time I was watching the cartoon, I'm like, no, yeah. I'm not going out in public and watching a My Little Pony movie. It's not happening.
Well, to me, there's something fun about being able to just turn on the Cartoon Network and you can just watch a full-length movie.
Yeah, for sure.
And you don't have to deal with anything. You can have all the luxuries of home.
Yeah, for sure. There's some other stuff. There's some comic stuff. And, of course, we'll get into the Marvel Studios announcements that happened on Saturday night. But right now it's time to take a break.
Oh, hey, so how about that?
We're going to take a break. We're coming back with some Nerd Radio. Stay tuned. San Diego Comic-Con news on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Nerd Radio.
That's cool. I'm taking it back.
What are you, nuts?
I'm taking it back. You watch.
And we're back with more Nerd Radio on your social media at Nerd Radio 101 and on the podcast page at WRIF.com. James and Al Beck joining me, Chuck Bean, for another week in Nerd Radio here and talking about San Diego Comic Con. So Saturday is when the big stuff happens.
Yeah.
At San Diego. That's when you get all the really cool announcements. For myself, Hasbro always announces all their Transformers and they kind of bridge it out over each day. It's like Friday, here's a couple of things. Thursday, here's a couple of things. And Saturday is like, here's everything.
Yeah.
They did announce this particular year that they are crowdfunding a Unicron figure. He's the Transformer from the original animated movie, the big planet that eats all the other planets. He's like Galactus of Transformers.
All right, nice.
And he starts as a big planet that eats other planets, and then at the end of the movie, he transforms into a giant robot and tries to annihilate the Transformers planet. They've made him before. He's only been, I want to say, about yay high, so like maybe about a foot high.
Sure.
And he cost about $50 when they made him there. This crowdfunded one is $575.
Ooh, oh, my God.
And stands about 2.5 to 3 feet high. It is literally the largest thing they've ever made.
So it's like the size of those, like, you can, remember when Star Wars came out? You could buy, like, those, like, almost life-size Darth Vaders.
And, right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
well, so that's...
like big like that, like
Hasbro did this thing, they call it HasLab, and they did this last year. They crowdfunded the Skiff from Jabba's Palace. You
okay.
could get Jabba's
yes,
giant
I've
skiff,
seen that.
But it was, I think that was $300, yes. And it was as long as enough people pre-order this thing, we will make it.
Yeah, it was like 3 feet long. I remember seeing that.
Yeah. So like, this nice, year, but... yeah, this year they decided that we'll give the Transformers a spin, and we'll make the biggest Transformer you could ever make, a planet. He's way out of my price range. I'm not interested. He looks cool.
And in about 5 years, somebody desperate for cash will have it for sale for...
That's what I'm hoping for. Somebody will desperately need to pay some bills, yeah. And they'll...
Or some nerd who finds a girl, and she's like, you got to get rid of all your...
got to get rid of this
all
giant
your nerdy
robot.
And you're like, oh, I got to sell my Unicron.
But Saturday night was...
I got to sell my Unicron.
Yeah, just... what a sad, pathetic, like, cry spell that would be.
My Unicron was $575.
They did. Marvel did announce Saturday afternoon to what the X-Men line is going to look like after the miniseries, which actually the first issue of came out today, The House of X and The Powers of X. Jonathan Hickman taking over the X-Men. We talked about not as big a Hickman fan as some people are.
But you told me that you got it.
I got
you
it.
You went home and read it right away.
Mm-hmm.
You did not expand on it. I mean, you were very worried about Hickman, so how did you feel about...
Well, that's...
Issue one is always kind of rough.
That's why I bring this up, because they announced the 6 or 7 books that will be coming out after this, what the X-Men line is going to look like.
Okay.
And that was enough to spark my excitement so that when I got that book, I had to read it immediately.
Okay.
Like the minute it was in my hands, I had to read it. So I am excited. And even after reading the first issue, I am... Now, talk to me next month after I've read 3 or 4 of these.
Yeah.
The story may change.
Yes.
But right now...
I've read Hickman, yes.
Right now, I am extremely excited about the direction the X-Men are taking. And that first book, they established that the X-Men have The Living Island Krakoa that from Giant Size X-Men number one and was also part of the Wolverine and the X-Men Jean Grey school. Mm-hmm. They have expanded it into an island in the Pacific Coast that the X-Men are using as a home base now. And they also, Krakoa somehow allows them to teleport to any place across the planet.
Okay.
So it's no longer like Professor X sees there's a mutant in trouble in Cerebro and sends the X-Men out in a jet. No. They find out there's a mutant in trouble, and they can teleport there immediately. They can teleport a team there immediately.
Can they teleport back, or they got to hitchhike?
Right. That's a good question, because it's like, so they got a phone, an Uber, you know? we teleported here, and somebody get a Uber us a ride home.
Right, but they announced
they
that
over Uber or Lyft.
The X-Men titles going forward, once these two miniseries are over, will be obviously an X-Men book, mm-hmm. and they got to show us what the teams are going to be like as well.
Okay.
Which is, the X-Men book consists of Cyclops, Jean Grey, Cable, the teenage Cable is currently running around. Corsair from the Starjammers, mm-hmm. which is the father of Cyclops and Havoc. Havoc also being on the team. Wolverine is on this team. And then Vulcan, which was the third Summers brother that...
I didn't even know there was a third Summers
brother. Yeah, I thought was dead. But hey, you know, actually, you know, at the end of the current...
Superhero deaths mean nothing.
At the end of the current Uncanny X-Men run, Havoc was also killed.
Well,
and now he's back, so it'll be interesting to see how that works. And there's a lot of that in these books. There's an Excalibur book coming out that's got Rogue and Gambit. Apocalypse is part of the team.
Interesting.
Betsy Braddock.
Apocalypse is part of the good
part
guy
of the
team?
What? Which is nuts.
Yeah.
Jubilee is on that team, as well as Richter from the New Mutants. They're doing a book called Marauders. Famously, the Marauders were the evil team that caused the mutant massacre
mm-hmm.
back in the day. So apparently they're taking that name back. Going back to Clerks 2. They're taking it back.
Taking it back.
That team consists of Kitty Pryde, Iceman, Emma Frost, Bishop, Storm, and Pyro.
Okay.
The villain.
All right.
And then there is a New Mutants book, and that has Ileana, Magic, Karma, Doug Ramsey, who's dead, Wolfsbane, who died in the last in the Matthew Rosenberg thing, Danny Moonstar, Sunspot, Chamber and Mondo from the Generation X book are in that book as well. There's a Fallen Angels book, which focuses on the Asian Psylocke. Not the British Psylocke. She's over in Excalibur. The
Holy
Asian
cow.
Version of Psylocke.
This is why I can't get into the X-Men.
This is why this is why Amy can't get into the X-Men. Because, like, wait, what? X-23 and Cable, young Cable is in that book. And then the X-Force book has Beast, Wolverine, and Jean Grey are in that book as well.
Okay.
Domino is in that book. Colossus. Quentin Quire, the pink-haired guy from Wolverine and the X-Men. The one student, Kid Omega.
Yeah.
And Black Tom Cassidy is in that book. But Juggernaut is not. Juggernaut, another fatality from the last run of X-Men.
Now, is the main book going to be under the Uncanny name, or is it just X-Men?
Just called X-Men.
Just called X-Men. So that's going to be the book that you have to have for your collection.
I would imagine, that's
And that's going to be the Hickman book,
the
though?
The analog. He is writing that book, and Linnell Francis Yu is supposed to be doing the art chores on that
book. Any creative teams that jumped out to you in there that you are excited about?
No, they're all they're names that I can recognize because they've worked on stuff. Gary Dugan is doing Marauders. He's writing that.
Okay. Jerry Dugan?
Jerry Dugan. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Former Deadpool not that long ago. Yeah.
Jonathan Hickman and Ed Brisson are writing the New Mutants book together, uh-huh. and Ed Brisson has worked on X-Men in the last couple years. So I think he did the X-Men Red book, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
But a lot of these books are... There's no names to show up for. There's not like a Warren Ellis or a Garth Ennis or, you know, no Jim Lee, no art or writing names. But I got to tell you, I'm real excited.
Well, that's good.
So it's another one of those. Like,
Are you going to give all of them a try?
I'm going to give all of them 6 months.
Okay.
When they hit. I think it's starting in October. I'll give them 6 months to.
Then you maybe pick out which ones you.
Yeah, then
really
it'll be a matter
follow.
Of weeding through the stuff.
So basically, you'll give it the first trade.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of Gary Dugan and speaking of trades, he's got an Image book coming out that I knew I wanted to tell you about.
Okay.
It's called Dead Eyes. It's going to be him and John McCree, who I don't know if you're familiar with John McCree on art.
No.
But he did Garth Ennis' Hitman book back in the 90s, and I enjoy his art. It's kind of sloppy, but it's definitely fun. He does a fun book. But the book is called Dead Eyes, and the concept of it is it's set in the 90s, and a prolific stick-up man took one last big score and disappeared, and nobody ever discovered where he went. He retired with the love of his life, but now he's back in the mask to save her, and nobody is happy about these out of retirement.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I like Jerry Dugan. The first couple of story arcs from Deadpool I thought were a little weak, but we also had just come off of Daniel Way, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
And Daniel Way was so good. And then this guy took over. So I don't know. I haven't gone back and reread those, but it ended up being a good run.
Yeah.
By the end of it, I was very happy. And, you know, it was almost weird. I liked Scotty Young before he took over. And, you know, it almost felt a little weird reading those Scotty Young issues.
His version of Deadpool.
So that might be worth checking out for me.
Yeah, Marvel.
I do like him.
Marvel's also got an Amazing Mary Jane miniseries coming out.
Amazing Mary Jane?
Yeah, coming out in the coming months. They have a Doctor Doom ongoing that Salvador LaRocca is going to be doing the art for.
Amazing Mary Jane is about a pot smoker.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with Spider-Man. Yeah. Has to do about with legalized pot. And they're doing a Spider-Verse miniseries.
We were talking comics too long. James started daydreaming over there.
Well, no.
Amazing Mary Jane.
I was looking for a chance to get in. He described that one comic as sloppy but fun. I've had the same review about my lovemaking.
Yeah.
I was like, that sounds exactly like the way they described how I am in bed.
No, that's fine.
I should read this comic.
They said it was fun, right? Yeah. So it's
kind of sloppy, but it was fun.
Mission accomplished.
Yes.
As long as it's not sloppy, but pepper sprites.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And they're doing a Spider-Verse miniseries that's going to have a whole bunch of art. Art Adams is supposed to be doing art in one of the stories on that, which would be pretty cool. I hope he does Spider-May, the Aunt May that gets bit by a...
Oh, yeah.
I just picked up the Spider-Man annual this year was a Spider-Ham story. I think I told you about it when it came out. Because there's a Spider-Gwen in it, but it's spelled G-U-I-N, so she's a penguin in a Spider-Man outfit.
Oh,
I had no idea Spider-Ham's origin is not that he was a pig, an anthropomorphic pig that got bit by a spider. He was a spider that got bit by
a pig.
Yes,
it's like Charlotte's Web gone to hell.
Yes,
what's going on? God.
He was bit by the Aunt May of that particular universe. She was doing a science experiment and
Peter Porker. Well, wait a minute. If he was a spider, why does he have a name like Peter Porker?
He's Spider Ham.
Oh, jeez.
He would have been a spider, but he was radiated into a pig that has the powers of a spider.
I love the phrase, radiated into a pig.
All right.
Crazy. You just blew my mind.
See, I was when I read it in the first page of that annual, I was like, what? That's how that worked? I'd never read his origin.
I don't know. I'm going to have to read it. I don't know if that, I don't think it works.
But let's talk about the big news coming out of San Diego was, of course, Marvel Studios have their next 2 years planned out. And that includes a couple of movies and all those TV shows that we're getting on the Disney Plus app. It starts next year in May with a Black Widow movie, which Scarlett Johansson will be returning for. And the guy from Stranger Things, I can't remember his name, he plays...
Hopper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know his name either.
He's going to be in the movie, and he plays a Russian by the name of Alexei, which is important because there's a guy in Stranger. There's a Russian.
Yeah, it's like, wow.
Things called Alexei.
That's weird.
Yeah.
In the fall of 2020, we're looking forward to the first Marvel show on the Disney Plus app, and that's Falcon and Winter Soldier. After that, in November, is the Eternals movie, which Angelina Jolie is supposed to be playing a character in. Eternals is a really, it's the new Guardians of the Galaxy for me as far as all these things go.
Okay.
So like, you're hype about it.
No, it's a whole bunch of characters I know nothing about that have very little.
You went into Guardians not really having much.
Yeah, I knew who Rocket Raccoon was. I had no idea about Groot or Star-Lord or, you know, I'd seen Gamora and Drax in other comics, older comics. I didn't know what this version was going
to
be like.
Sure.
But they kind of tweaked those characters, too, to make them fit.
So this Eternals movie is definitely the kind of thing. It's like, all right, sell me.
See, I feel better now, too, because we try to talk about this on the show, and they came to me with questions, and I'm like, I don't know. And if you don't know, I feel good about it.
The only two comic series I know of the Eternals was, I guess, they're a Jack Kirby creation from the 70s. Yeah. And then in the early 2000s, Neil Gaiman wrote a miniseries with them. And I remember reading the Neil Gaiman miniseries. I couldn't tell you who any of the characters were, though.
Yeah, looking at this new phase, I mean, as we've discussed before, as a comic fan, I'm pretty much meat and potatoes.
Right.
Your Batmans, your Captain Americas. And so, like, the next phase, there is a lot of... Well, yes, I know who Black Widow is. I know who the Guardians are. You know,
right.
But it's like there's a lot of like, I don't know who this is.
For me, I'm like, I don't think I'm that interested.
Yeah, these are all
phase.
Really deep cuts.
It's like two or three, you know, movies that they announced. That,
right.
Know, some of them we haven't got to, so I'm not going to
for sure.
Thunder.
So, I mean, I think the last, It'll do fine because I think the last decade they've established themselves enough as a studio that and their the way they tell stories that people will show up.
Right.
But if it gets too weird and too niche, like people won't be interested anymore. Because at least this time when you had maybe a Guardians of the Galaxy where even you weren't super familiar with them.
Right.
It's surrounded by all these characters that were already familiar to you.
You
know?
Knew if you got if you got a movie like Guardians that you didn't know much about, you knew it was going to be followed up with like the next Captain America.
Right.
Or a Hawkeye, or not and Hawkeye, but a Thor movie.
Right, and it would be tied in together.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what I'm looking at, because they're calling this Phase 4, and one of the announcements at San Diego was that the Fantastic Four are definitely on deck to be, you know,
in these.
They got to be in Phase 4. Like, it's right there.
Yeah.
Like, if I was planning these things out, all the end credit sequences in every one of these movies would have a member of the Fantastic Four showing up at some point.
Right.
That's a great idea. But I almost wonder if they're so worried about all the flops that the Fantastic Four franchise has taken.
Right.
That they want to give some time to let the dust settle from the last
That's entirely possible.
But I also think with the Eternals, I feel like Angelina Jolie being in it makes it, like, cheapens it for me. Like,
yeah.
I feel like she's too big of a name
to be
in it.
In one of these Marvel movies.
You know?
Well, I'm sure.
That's just me. But I know she's got the relationship with Disney being in the Maleficent movies and all that stuff.
Right.
But when I saw, okay, Angelina Jolie's going to be in a Marvel movie, I don't, like, for whatever reason, that was a put-off.
Right.
But I think it's cool that, was it Kumail Nanjiani?
Nanjiani.
Nanjiani. He's going to be in it. But I'm like,
Kumail's awesome.
You know,
I love Kumail Nanjiani.
I'm so happy to see that he's in it, because I loved him in
Silicon Valley.
Right. I want to see Stuber. Like, I'm a fan of his work.
His movie, The Big Sick, was really good.
Okay.
That's like a biographical, him and his wife.
How him and his wife met, right? Yeah, see, that's going to make me too sad.
It is kind of
sad stuff. I don't want to cry. Like,
it is kind of sad. That
life's
movie,
sad enough as it is.
It
so.
Is. But if, you know, anyone else hasn't seen it and they're a fan of Kumail, I recommend it highly.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Like,
he was also in the first episode of Twilight Zone that I love so much.
Oh, okay.
That came in.
He was the comedian.
He was the comedian, yeah.
Right. That's the thing, too, about a lot of these movies in this next phase. Like, when you pick characters like the Eternals, they're not the Avengers. Like, they don't. You can do one movie and not have to do another one.
Yeah.
You know, they can show up in another movie at some point, but, like, you don't have to. Well, the next movie on the list, Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, what?
Yeah, so Amy asked me, he's like, who's Shang-Chi? And I'm like, well, what if Bruce Lee was in the Marvel Universe? That's essentially what you're getting.
Okay, because I was like, is he a guy from Mortal Kombat?
But the thing is, the movie is called Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, and that has led a lot of people to believe that that's going to be the Mandarin. Like, they're going to make the Mandarin a serious thing, because he was in Iron Man 3, but he was that actor, that British actor.
Yeah, but he wasn't really the Mandarin.
He was goofy,
Kingsley.
Right. Yeah, Ben Kingsley. And then they did one of those DVD extra, those little 5-minute movies that they were doing during Phase 1 with him in prison, which led you to believe that the Mandarin might actually have set up that actor, that goofy actor, as a front, so nobody would expect that he's actually this mastermind. So you don't know which way it works. But Shang-Chi's coming out in February of 2021. Then you've got the Wanda and Vision show that's going to be on the Disney streaming platform in the spring. And then the next movie in May is the Doctor Strange sequel, which is called Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Bam. Now I'm excited.
Yeah.
And I've also heard it's supposed to be a pseudo-horror movie.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the first horror movie of the mainstay Marvel Universe, which that's another one of those, like, okay, so they're going to take this phase to be like, we've established ourselves, people will show up for these Marvel movies, so now we're going to do weird stuff.
Yeah, with the multiverse, I'm like, oh, what are they going to tinker with? What are they going to mess with? They're going to see some crazy Marvel characters in scenarios you normally wouldn't see.
Right.
And plus, I just love how Doctor Strange just manipulates everything.
Yeah.
Like, the first movie to me was Marvel's version of Inception. I loved Inception.
Inception was a great movie.
You know? Some amazing special effect shot in that. Yeah. And, like, that's, I think me and Al were talking about with the new Spider-Man movie. There's a scene with Mysterio that kind of lends itself to Doctor Strange.
I still got to go see that.
Yeah. Some of Mysterio's mind warping stuff is really kind of Doctor Strange like.
Very
cool. And I guess Scarlet Witch is supposed to be a part of this movie as well.
Yeah.
So do you think, because we're also talking about some of the shows that are coming to the Disney streaming service, do you think they're going to intertwine them more than the old shows were? Like, for example, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you had to watch the movies in order to keep up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but you didn't have to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to watch the movies.
Right.
And same thing, well, and really, I mean, the Netflix shows were related to the MCU, but you didn't have to watch one to watch the other at all. I mean, they made references to you know, like the battle for New York or whatever.
I think it'll work the same way. I don't think you'll see references in the movies to stuff that, like, well, if you didn't watch it on the streaming service, then you don't know what's happening.
Well, because
I feel like they should.
Well, I think that they might, because now, I mean, before they had a contract with Netflix.
Right.
And, I mean, obviously, this is why all that stuff on Netflix kept getting canceled, is because they were just moving stuff over. They're not giving them the license anymore. But to me, it's like now they own the streaming service. They want as many subscribers as possible.
Right.
So, like, am I going to get a movie ticket, go in there, and I didn't watch one of their stupid shows, and then I'm completely lost? Like, do you think that might happen?
I don't know. I think it's possible, but I think they've definitely chosen. It's funny, for all these TV shows that they're putting on the Disney streaming service, they've chosen characters who have already been established in the movies, who they don't have much plans to use in the next couple of years in any of the movies. Like, right. we can bring these actors back and put them in this, you know, 12 or 13 episode show that you can stream on a streaming service. But, like I said, Wanda's supposed to show up in Doctor Strange, but she's also got a show. So I would imagine there'll be some interplay between those. Sure. But then you've got, like, the Loki show that's coming out, or the Falcon Winter Soldier show.
Oh, so Loki's going to be a show.
Okay,
I thought Loki was going to be another movie.
Yep, yeah, that's going to be on the Disney Plus, and then the other show, which I was super excited for, was Hawkeye.
Oh, that's a show too? I thought it was a movie.
Nope. He's going to be on Disney Plus.
Oh, I was stoked. I was like, oh, dude, Dirk's going to be excited.
They showed a trailer kind of that looked like the what would be the intro to the Hawkeye show.
Okay.
And they show in the trailer, they show Kate Bishop. They don't show an actress as Kate Bishop. They show like a silhouette.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, sweet.
All right.
Awesome. It looks a lot like the art from the Matt Fraction run of Hawkeye too. So as long as I can capture the feel of that, I'm on board. The other show that they're talking about doing is Marvel Studios' What If, and it's going to be animated, and they're going to get, if there's an episode with a multiverse version of Captain America, they're getting Chris Evans to come in and do the voice for it.
Oh, okay.
If Iron Man's going to be in the movie, Robert Downey Jr. is coming in doing the voice for it, kind of thing.
That's cool.
Which is going to be kind of cool. And then the last movie they announced was Thor Love and Thunder, which will be the female Thor. They're actually bringing back Natalie Portman to be...
Jane Foster
to be the girl Thor, Foster Thor that we got in the comics a couple years ago. It'll be interesting to see if they also stick with the storyline that Jane Foster had cancer while she was female Thor.
Hmm.
So every time she would pick up the hammer, it would undo all the chemotherapy she was doing. So it was kind of slowly killing her.
Really?
To be Thor.
Huh.
Yeah. That story or whatever, this has zero appeal to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
I feel like, okay, I get it, female Thor, but she's really not Thor. She's Jane Foster.
Right.
Okay, she can hold a hammer. Why do you got to call it Thor? She's not Thor. Like, I just don't understand.
Yeah, I mean,
like, Thor's on a, I can't say where he is because some people might not have seen all the movies now.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, Thor is somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
He's doing something.
I do get annoyed with that myself. Like, you know, like, there's the discussion about, like, I've got nothing against, like, a strong female lead. Yeah,
Same here.
But when you're trying to change James Bond into a... Why?
Yeah.
It's James Bond or it's not.
Yeah.
You know?
You can still have a female that
we mentioned
swing the hammer and do all this, but maybe she doesn't have to be Thor.
Right.
You know, she could be somebody else from Asgard.
Yeah. And I'm with you on that. I kind of jumped off the Jane Foster. I was reading Jason Aaron's run until they switched it over. So, I don't know. But... the weird thing is, it's almost like you're kind of tapping into the original concept for Thor was that doctor, I didn't remember what his name was, but he had found a walking staff, and he hit it on the ground, and then the staff became Mjolnir, and he became Thor. And then so, like, really, you could hand that off to, I could hand it off to you, and you could become Thor.
See, now that would make more sense.
Yes, that was the original Journey into Mystery as Stan Lee wrote it and created Thor as a comic book character rather than a Norse god. And eventually it just transformed this thing where he never went back to being a mortal.
He just
was Thor all the time. And it's just, that's sort of been lost in comic book history. But if they were still doing it that way, then yes, I'm totally fine. But no, I'm with you because they abandoned that storyline.
Okay.
Long, long time ago.
So good. I'm glad I don't feel like I'm the only person.
No,
I'm, like,
I'm with you. Yeah.
Like, what, Thor's going to be a girl? I'm like, well, what?
I know, because I did read. There was, I mean, I didn't read the
Natalie
Thor.
Natalie Portman's going to play her? But Natalie Portman was banging Thor. Like, I get you. She's going to hold Thor's hammer. She's held Thor's real hammer, you know?
Does it burn when you pee? You maybe caught the Thor.
Yeah, like, it's like, now you can just become Thor. Like, you can get herpes, you know? Because if they're just, you could just get a superhero power like that magically by sleeping with somebody, I might need to have more unprotected sex with potential superheroes.
No, you gotta be able to pick up the hammer. You gotta be worthy.
Okay, well, I'm definitely not worthy.
And I don't think worthiness is a sexually transmitted disease.
No, it's not. But still, that whole concept just is confusing to me. But.
So they're bringing Rick Grimes back in a Walking Dead movie. We found out at San Diego as well.
Yeah.
They had just a little teaser for it. They don't have a date for it or anything like that. It's just the fact that, like, hey, you know how we got rid of Rick Grimes on the show? Yeah, well, he'll come back for the movie.
Yeah. You know what? I jumped off the show before Andrew Lincoln even left, but I think I'd probably at least check out the show or the movie.
Yeah, I was out after they did some weird stuff to Carl.
They've got HBO dropped the trailer for Watchmen series that's coming out on HBO. It looks like it's hard to tell exactly when it's supposed to take place, but from the trailer, it sounds like it takes place after the events of the movie / original book.
Yeah, I'm going to have to at least give that a go.
Right. There were a lot of shows that are having like their final send-off at San Diego Comic-Con, final season. Like S.H.I.E.L.D. is only coming back for one more season. Arrow has one more season.
Yes.
And then it's over. And what was it? Supernatural had their last panels at San Diego Comic Con as a show. Well, this is the thing that I'm sure you're the most excited about, Al, is they dropped the trailer for the Picard show that's going to be on CBS streaming. Did you see the trailer? Because does that
make it so? I did.
Okay, because I didn't know if that went against your
Picard. I thought you said the Picard.
I'm like, no, Picard.
Picard show.
No, Captain Picard.
I'm like, what the hell?
Captain Warp 1, engage!
But then once he started dropping quotes, I was like, oh, Picard. So I'm like, what the hell is the Picard show, Al?
The line must be drawn here! This far, no farther!
So what do you think?
I'm very excited.
Very excited.
I'm very excited. I mean, it's Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Jean-Luc Picard.
There's some new female character that he's supposed to be shepherding across the galaxy.
Yeah. 7 of 9 was in the trailer.
Yeah. And you got to see
T. Earl Grey hot.
You got to see Data in a drawer.
Data is supposed to be dead. Well, they could reassemble him. But.
Yeah, that's what it looks like is going on.
Yeah, there was always like fan theories of how they could reincorporate him into into the computer or something like that.
Yeah, but, the thing they have to figure out how to explain away is how the actor is older.
Yeah,
the android older?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. But no, I'm looking forward to it. I did watch the trailer, even though this is so dumb. There's a podcast I listen to that I've told you about.
Right.
Basically, it's two comedy writers that are Star Trek fans, and they review Next Generation episode by episode, you know. And that's my favorite Star Trek series. So I was actually like, you know, I'm gonna watch the series again with the podcast.
Yeah. And that's what I'm doing with my X-Men podcast. Yeah, I listen to it and I go back and read the books that I've already read.
Yeah, so I'll watch the episode, then listen to the podcast and so forth. And they dropped a new episode, and it was the Picard trailer. And I looked at it, I was like, trailer. And I know I want to see this show. It kind of violates my rules. And I looked and they talked about, I don't even know the trailer, 3 minutes, 2.5 maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, they talked about it for 45 minutes.
Wow.
Right.
This show is an even bigger waste of time than ours is. Like, and that's insane.
Dude, 45 minutes. They went balls deep on that trailer.
They did. So I still haven't watched that episode, but I was like, I can't miss a 45-minute episode about a trailer. Like, I have to. So that's the only reason I broke my rule. And, yeah, so I'm very excited.
You're very excited.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool.
I think it's coming next year sometime.
Something like that, yeah.
So.
Well, you know who else is chomping at the bit about San Diego Comic-Con? Our own Mike Pandoff.
Okay.
He's got a bunch of stuff. I'm sure he's going to just talk my ear off about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But we're going to him next.
I'm definitely leaving then.
Yeah. So
that's all you and Mike. I am out. You know my feelings on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's right. Me and Mike are going to wrap up the show this week as we talk about San Diego Comic-Con. And I'll talk to you guys next week.
Sounds good.
Thanks for hanging out. You guys had to stay a little bit late to get in this week's Nerd Radio, and I appreciate it.
No problem.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Jay Fosgate. I'm the creator of Bodhi Troll, and you are listening to Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRAF.com, wherever you're getting your podcasts as part of the B-Pod Studios Network, and of course on your social media at Nerd Radio 101. My name is Chuck Bean. I'm joined for this particular segment of the show by our good buddy Mike Pandoff.
Welcome back. How are you doing, Chuck?
You texted me last weekend in the middle of all the San Diego Comic-Con stuff saying, hey, are we going to talk about San Diego Comic-Con? I'm like, hell yeah.
Well, like day one, they started dropping bombs left and right day one, and I was very excited going into Saturday.
Right. Well, yeah, and Saturday is obviously the big day. I've already talked to James and Al about some of this stuff, but I wanted to get your take. What are some of the things you took away from San Diego Comic-Con this year that you were like, man, I can't wait for that? Because that's essentially what San Diego is now, is you get to see trailers. If you're a comic book fan, you'll get to see, you know, some, we talked about like the relaunch of the X-Men books. They had the covers and the creative teams and stuff. And it's essentially getting you psyched for what the next 6 to 12 months is going to bring you.
Oh, of course. And one of the first things, I think it was the first trailer, and it seemed like everyone was talking about it, was definitely Top Gun 2,
mm-hmm.
sequel about, what, 30 years in the making or something like that?
I was just telling James and Al about this. Top Gun is, I missed the boat completely.
You were not
on Top Gun. I was not a Top Gun kid whatsoever.
Well, I think
that's the defining way you can tell the difference between me and Chuck the Freak.
Oh, yeah?
We're both Chucks, but he is super into Top Gun, and I have never seen it.
Well, like... what was it? My brother being 10 years older than me, so this movie came out, like, I want to say just right around that age when he was a kid, so we both wanted to be fighter pilots growing up.
Right.
And,
who was Goose? Who was Maverick?
None of us were Goose or Maverick.
Nobody got to be Goose or Maverick when you guys were in the backyard playing fighter pilots?
Oh, no, we did have the PS1 game of Top Gun, which was one of the hardest freaking flying games.
Oh, you mean
ever.
The Nintendo? The NES one?
No, we had this. This was PlayStation 1. You had to go to Top Gun Academy. You're pretty much Maverick without being Maverick, if that makes sense.
Like, okay.
You were the rapscallion computer. But, or commies. That's how they call them in 95.
The NES game was really brutal too, but it was only like it was really hard to land the plane.
Dude,
shooting stuff down was fine. Landing the plane was next to impossible.
No, I just remember the constant barrage of waves of like all of a sudden you shoot down an enemy and like four would have lock on you and the computer would PS1 would start going off, like the sounds would just be like constant ringing. But get back to the movie, yeah, I was super excited about just the, I knew this was going into production about 4 years ago, but after Tony Scott passed away, I didn't think they were going to do it, which I'm very happy with that they were able to, you know, continue his vision on. But it's a cool, like, little nostalgic, because I was talking to my buddies, and they're like, you know, it's just going to be popcorn flick. I'm like, yeah, but those are real fighter jets they're using in this. And the fact that they use two active aircraft carriers while filming this movie with a crew of like 15. I'm like, it's a Tom Cruise movie, so you know he's actually flying the plane too.
No way.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise can't fly a plane.
You know, Tom Cruise can do anything thanks to a spaghetti monster.
Does he got to sit on a telephone book?
Yeah, exactly, right? I think he's shorter than me.
He's very small.
But that was like day one, and between that and then the only other things that I was really excited for going into the weekend was the Watchmen trailer and Westworld season 3, which is a show you have never watched. I know
that's
that.
True, right?
But Watchmen,
you specialize in shows that I don't watch. I know that you saw. I saw that there was the last season of S.H.I.E.L.D. They had everybody around for.
I'll cry another day for that.
It's a real weird San Diego because a lot of stuff is like celebrating the final season or the final time they'll be at San Diego. You know, touting a season of.
Well, like I told you, Crisis on Infinite Earth. It feels like this 5-part series, and then of course season 8 of Arrow is going to be a big send off season. But I feel like Crisis is like the ultimate send off. For like, yeah, the shows will still be going on because I think this is happening mid season. But I feel like that's like you have to do it while you have Stephen Amell. Like he's the one who started it all. It's like kind of doing Avengers without Cap or Iron Man.
Well, yeah, and you are much more you've got much more stake in the CW DC universe than I do. How long do you think the rest of the shows stick around once Arrow's gone?
Honestly, I can't watch Supergirl. It's a little too cheesy and bubblegum for me.
Okay.
Flash is the only one I really... And then DC, of course, because you do look like freaking Constantine. That's the, it's hilarious.
That may
me.
Be the best compliment I've ever been
oh,
given.
Oh, dude, yeah. You'll honestly, I would tell you just skip everything and just watch Constantine just in season four.
Just watch the Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
See a whole bunch of Constantine.
Well, yeah, and then they announced Brandon Routh suiting back up, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. So they're saying he's playing the king. He's not playing his Christopher Reed Superman. He's playing that Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
So what's the big difference between that? Because they're going to have two Supermans on
Kingdom
this.
Come Superman is older. He's seen some stuff. He's gruffer. He actually just showed up in the Young Justice book a week or two ago. The Young Justice kids are kind of hopping through the multiverse, and they ended up in the Kingdom Come universe. He's a lot less less cheerful or happy-go-lucky or something like that. He's really not willing to take a whole lot of stuff. He'll break right down to the cold breath and the heat laser beams. Real quickly. He's not like an anti-hero. You know, he's not like the Punisher or Cable or something like that.
He just knows, like, if he can stop something quickly, he'll just stop it.
He will. Okay. Yeah, because he's old enough that he's seen enough things go down and feels like he could have stopped them, that now he's much more prone to stop things before they get out of hand.
Okay, I kind of like that. Because that's going to be interesting with Brandon Routh.
He's typically kind of, like, as the Atom, he's kind of the comic relief.
Yeah, exactly.
He's funny.
And Christopher, and then Superman Returns in 2005, he was just playing Christopher Reed.
Right.
So, like, that makes a lot of sense. That's going to be cool. And then Watchmen, I'm excited for. I still don't know where it's taking place in the timeline.
That's the weird thing, is even after seeing a preview of it, like, does this take place after the movie? Does this take place before it? Does it, like,
because they say Manhattan lives on Mars, but I'm like,
yeah,
I'm
so that implies
sure
that it must take place after the events of at least the movie, if not the original book.
Yeah, because it feels like the Rorschach gang's got to be the villains of the show. That's what I'm getting at. They're like the vigilantes, but I feel like they're going over the edge. And I like seeing Owl's machine again, or his flying machine. I don't know
it's
what to call
cool
it, because it's not a plane or a helicopter. It's a freaking owl that flies.
I don't remember what the term for it is, but it's neat that that's going to be a set piece.
Are you going to use my HBO subscription for that?
Oh, of course.
Okay. That's one show that you and me could maybe talk about together.
Right.
But then after 2 weeks, you'll be like, my God.
Yeah, it might be 2 weeks after it. I might be like, man, I don't know what's up with this show. I'm out. But
I think, though, the biggest news out of the whole weekend, though, and it's probably not going to happen because they said Phase 4, I'm sure you, James, and Al, Phase 4 is only 2 years, they're saying, like, these sets of movies and shows.
I don't believe that.
You don't believe that?
I believe this is only the first 2 years of Phase 4.
Okay.
This is what they have concrete in set in stone at this point, is the next 2 years. Because you can't do Phase 4 and Fantastic Four and not have it happen during Phase 4.
Yeah. You know what? It'd be kind of cool, just real quick. I think it'd be kind of cool if they were doing kind of like what they wanted to do with The Flash and Batman vs. Superman, where, like, if they have been stuck in a dimension since the 60s, they keep trying, they almost keep making it.
Maybe.
At the end of each credit, so, like, maybe the first end credit, you see the Thing for, like, a brief second. Next end credit scene, you see Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but I think the coolest news, and this is just because I love it, was the thing that started superhero movies, I think, being successful, Blade getting rebooted with Mahershala Ali. That is very interesting casting to me.
Well, and the funniest thing is the story that Kevin Feige told, is that once Mahershala Ali got, what was it, a couple Emmys or something for Green Room?
Yeah.
Once he got a couple awards for it, he essentially called Kevin Feige and was like, hey, I want to be Blade.
Oh, yeah.
it's like, well, you don't turn that down. I guess we're doing Blade.
Well, because the only other concept I saw, and there was rumors that Wesley Snipes wanted to come back, and I'm like, Wesley, I love you, man, but you know, you age, you're older now, so
you so need to see the episode of What We Do in the Shadows, where all the different vampires from every. Did I tell you about that?
Yeah. Wait, what was this?
There's an episode dead in the middle of the season of What We Do in the Shadows where they have to go to a vampire conclave, and every actor or actress that's been a major vampire in cinema in the last, like, 20 years is in it. And Wesley Snipes is part of the conclave over a Skype call.
That is awesome. That is great.
They got Tilda Swinton in there, and they got the original three from the What We Do in the Shadows movie are in there. They say that Brad and Tom couldn't show up.
Oh.
So it's amazing.
Oh, that's cool.
It's absolutely amazing.
I can't wait for that.
It's a great show already, but that, like, happening in the middle of the season was just icing on the cake, man. It was fantastic
stuff. Now, do you think they're going to go PG-13 with this Blade going around, or do you think they're going to keep him in the R-rated genre?
It'll be interesting to see, because it looks like Phase 4 has a... They're definitely branching out and trying to do a lot of interesting stuff. They said that the Doctor Strange movie is going to be the first horror movie of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
And that'll be interesting to see. The fact that next year we're getting a Shang-Chi, the Master of Kung Fu movie, is definitely another one of those, like... Okay, it's Guardians of the Galaxy all over again.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a character that has a very deep history comic book-wise. He's been in a lot of comic books, but, like, there's not a lot there to work with, so it'll be really interesting to see how can you make this work. It may also makes me think that Iron Fist might have worked in a, like, hour-and-a-half setting as opposed to, like, 10 hours of Danny Rand being
crappy. Or this
crappy.
Would have been a good character to team up, because you would have had two minor characters on screen together doing kung fu,
maybe.
Maybe.
Well, and that's the thing that they need to. That's what Amy asked me when it was announced. She's like, "Who's Shang-Chi?" I'm like, "Oh, he's basically Bruce Lee in the Marvel Universe."
Okay,
that's the one sentence that you have to know about Shang-Chi. You can look up, you know, like the Wikipedia entry or something like that. And there's more to him, and you know, he's got a whole backstory and everything like that. But anyone walking into this movie needs to know is like, what if Bruce Lee existed in the Marvel Universe? Bam, that's Shang-Chi.
Oh, well, you got my money then. All right, that's all. That sounds like a great elevator pitch.
Yeah.
but, yeah, it was very slow, though. You could tell Warner Brothers wasn't there. Disney holding off on any Star Wars news. The only Star Wars news I picked up on, and Janelle told me about it, was that they're doing a four-part series about the rise of Kylo Ren.
Okay.
Which I think would be an interesting comic. I'm not going to look into
it. I was going to say, I would expect if anyone pulled Star Wars news out of San Diego, it would have been you.
Oh, yeah. And that sounds like a cool concept, because we've never really gotten, even if Adam Driver doesn't age terribly, I think they could still do, if they wanted to do a spinoff miniseries like on Disney Plus, I would love to see Kylo Ren's, like, the day after, leading up to maybe Force Awakens, like, what was he doing, like, during that stretch? I would love to see his conflict and how he fit into the First Order with the Knights of Ren.
Well, and I think that's the big question mark in the next 12 months, too, is that I think San Diego Comic-Con next year is going to look vastly different once we've got the Disney Plus streaming service for a couple of months to see. Because, I mean, they announced that all those shows that they've been talking about, like Loki and Falcon and Winter Soldier and Hawkeye and stuff like that, that stuff's well into the next 2 years. It's not like you're going to get that service in the fall and all of a sudden, bam, you've got all these bingeable shows.
I know. I was under the impression, that we were going to get that. But then I'm like, yeah, there's no way they filmed all this. Like,
right.
There's no way they did. But at least we got, like, you know, the Mandalore and all of the cinematic universe and every animated movie they've ever made is all going to be on there, which is going to be cool. But
yeah, I'm wondering how much of the Marvel animated stuff will make it over there. I mean, obviously Disney has all their Disney XD stuff, like Guardians of the Galaxy and Ultimate Spider-Man and stuff that I would expect is going to be over there. But like, will we get the 90s Spider-Man cartoon?
Don't even tease me with that idea.
And the X-Men? Will we get the old Captain America show from like the 60s?
Oh, man. Oh, what was it? I hope they use the 90s X-Men theme in the cinematic universe of X-Men.
Okay, I don't know if you've heard, but there is an orchestral version of that I found on Spotify that is amazing.
Dude, really? It's
amazing.
Full orchestra?
Full orchestra. I'll play it for you after the show.
I think that is probably single-handedly the greatest Batman, not Batman.
The X-Men.
Yeah, it goes right. X-Men and then 89 Batman theme for me. Like,
yeah, the 89 Batman theme is great.
But that's really all I really picked off. The only other thing that I think that was really interesting was Rick and Morty coming back for season 4.
Yeah.
That is probably the best. We were talking that these last 3 seasons, I probably watched every episode a couple of times, and I'm still not sick of them.
That's cool.
So I can't wait for season 4, and that the fact that they're already working on season 5, so I kind of can forgive them for this 2-year stretch. And I really hope the comedy sticks up. The 1-minute clip about the app that they released.
You know what I just thought of that was rumored before we went into San Diego and did not get announced, and now I'm kind of upset about it.
Oh, no.
Is a Community movie.
I don't think we're going to get that.
No, probably not, but it would have been cool. All right. Thanks for stopping in, Mike. We'll check in with you in a couple of, probably in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yes.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
golden radio.
I know.
See you later, nerds.
Hey, we're out.
How do you feel about it?
That's fine.
Okay.
Look at my new follower on Instagram, Al. Yes, what? It's a man who's just got his underwear on and the man taking the selfie. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Is that your new follower?
Yeah, my new follower on Instagram.
He's your demographic
for
sure.
Yeah, he liked all the photos that I have of me in a man thong. Yep. So I know what he's on Instagram for.
Yep.
Trolling for dudes to josh around in a hot tub. And maybe more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.